Hey, what's good? This is Rich. And on today's episode, we do have some technical difficulties. Something was going on with my microphone. Not sure why, not sure how, but really hope you enjoy this. And yeah, let's get into it. Hey, what's good? This is Rich.
And I'm Marcus.
And you're listening to Paychecks and Balances, where we talk making money, saving money, and getting out of debt, all while having some fun along the way.
I may be entering the first signs of dementia if you notice another pregnant pause as I forgot my first name again this week. But on the positive side, at least I've got the course done. So debt-free, the four-week starter kit is in its final phase of production. I'm just waiting to hear back from the editors, and we'll get that to you as we wrap up Financial Literacy Month, April 2019. Be sure to join our email list to learn more and get our free 15-minute money plan. You can find that at paybal.co/email. Again, that's paybal.co/email.
Fam, we're almost there. Almost, like just around the corner. Like I could see it in the distance.
Yeah, man. It's getting to a point. It kind of reminded me of when I was writing the book where I tell people at work, you know, you're done with the report when you're sick and tired of reading it. I'm tired of hearing my own voice over and over again. So I got to do a couple more run throughs, get back to the editors with some feedback. But yes, we will get this, what I hope is a great product, to the people.
Indeed. And this week's show, it's just us. I know we've had a few listeners write in and say, yo, when is it going to be just y'all? We like y'all having guests, but we want to hear from just y'all every now and then. And today is one of those episodes, and this may not be the episode title, but I'm tagging it Tactually Irresponsible, aka I Hate It Had to Be Me. So for those of us in the States, tax season has officially passed, or if you filed an extension, it's still going. Or if you have some other circumstance, maybe you're fighting with the IRS, it's still going. But for the majority of us, tax season has gone by and I feel ravaged, which I'll talk a lot more about. Some things that I did wrong, some things I'm looking at doing going forward. But how was tax season for you this year, good brother?
Wasn't too bad. I think this will likely be the last year, quite possibly, of my life, but I don't want to be too morbid. But definitely for recent years coming up that I might get a tax return. So I got what I think is my last tax return this year. It was lower, you know, for perspective.
Refund?
Yeah, tax refund. It was lower than last year's, but still, you know, decent. It was, I didn't do anything with it. I ended up paying off a car that I had used earlier this year. But what the heck did I buy? I think it was a trip.
Nice.
I think I bought a trip or something like that. So I just, like, it's one of those things where I knew it was going to be gone as soon as it came in. So I actually filed my taxes, I guess, relatively early. I think it was like February or something like that. I got this weird mental thing. I do the same thing with bills where I might have the cash to pay it off anyway, but it's like, sometimes I don't want to see it leave my account until the 15th.
Yo, that's how I felt with taxes this year.
On principle. So I was like, I knew I was going to get a return, so I went ahead and filed early. But if I had owed them money, they'd have got that at April 15th at 11:59 p.m. and 32 seconds. So I went ahead and did the early filing. It was a decent year, all things considered.
Yo, that was me. So I was one of those people that waited till the day taxes were due. And a lot of this was driven by the fact that this was the first year where I saw so many people talking about them owing, which was a bit of a surprise to me. So I found myself doing exactly that, where I'm like, nah, I know this money got to go. I'm going to keep it in my account. It's going to be all good. I'm going to wait till the last minute because my taxes are going to be pretty simple because I did everything else right. And I ended up filing in the evening, and man, it wasn't good, bro.
I got that impression from the Slack text that came in that day. I think there was a couple caps and a couple emojis in there.
Oh, yeah. And it actually got worse after that. So for every year of my life up until now, I've gotten a tax refund. And I've been claiming one over the course of the years. And I'm not going to get into what you should be claiming, what you shouldn't be claiming, because I am not a CPA. But over the course of my life, I've gotten used to, I claim this, I do this, I get a return. And this year, I did expect to get a smaller return. And then I saw so many people freaking out about how much money they owed that I accepted that I was probably going to be in a situation where I was going to end up owing myself. So going into tax season, did you expect that you would get a smaller return, or did you think that you were going to owe? How did that work out for you?
I figured I would still get a return. I assumed it would be smaller. So I need to say two things, because one, I'm not sure if the listening audience knows for sure. So for those who aren't familiar, we actually incorporated Paychecks and Balances as an LLC in, what was that, 2016?
I think it was 2017.
Okay. So Rich and I file joint taxes through the business, and we work with typically a CPA to help us with that part of the business. Then we file separately. So if people are kind of wondering how we have our setup, and to your point, I don't have anything particularly complex. If it wasn't for the business, I'd probably follow a 1040 and be done with it. And I have some investments, but they're through my employer, so they're nothing complicated. And I'm not rich enough to take capital gains or anything that would be more complicated than I typically do through point number two, H&R Block. I've been filing through H&R Block for free for like the last 7 years. So they have all my records. I just like to do it in a central place. I'm not being paid by H&R Block. I'm just advocating for it because it's simple and straightforward for me. And I just like having access to my records because I like to hoard information. I'm an information hoarder, for those who know that or do not know that. So because of that, even before we filed our business tax, I had a couple 1099s come in because I've been freelance writing throughout the year. So 1099 is basically what you fill out for a freelance contract. And I've been freelance writing. It's basically contract work. I'm sure it's more complicated than that, but like Rich, I'm not a CPA. I am going to go into the show notes when Rich gets to talking here and pull two episodes out where y'all can get that information. But I kind of wanted people to have that context so they know what we're working with. So I say all that to say, I went into H&R Block to get, you can fill out the forms all the way up to filing. And I had an estimate. It went down slightly. It went down like $400, which in itself is kind of crazy because my tax return, $400 is like a pretty good percentage of my tax return. And it's like I filed like one more, I want to say 1099. And the 1099 was like for, I don't know, $400, $500. And it dropped me into it pushed me up into another bracket because I had to pay more in taxes. Like, it was not proportional to the income I made to the taxes I had to pay, which upset me some kind of way. But I did know I was going to get a tax return. I just didn't know the exact range until that final filing. So that's a little life hack so people can cheat the system. You can go in and estimate your taxes early. I'm sure you can do it through the IRS website as well. So I did know what my tax return was roughly going to be several months before I filed.
See, and that's where you were a better man than me, or perhaps multiple ways, because you weren't surprised and I was typing all hard on my keyboard like that angry cat where it's typing all aggressively on the computer. And you were kind of like, damn, bro, like that's a... Yeah, man. Hope that works out for you. And I'm all super stressed.
Hey, man. You know, it's real out here. You know, I understand the tax season stress. So when you hopped in the chat, I wasn't caught off guard. You know, I had to pull some records to help Rich out and things like that. But it gets real out here around tax season. I understand it. You know, your eyes may stare and your teeth may grit. And, you know, shout out to the people who recognize that movie because it's a very small line. And I'm not going to give you a clue. You'll have to turn over to the Googles to figure out what that is. It's a little slept on hood movie, actually.
Yeah, and so I don't know that reference off top, so I'm just going to keep it moving. And I will say going forward, what you did is probably more of what I'll do, where actually I'll take some time well in advance to get a sense of where I am tax-wise. But after all of the hoopla about people owing, I thought I was going to be in a situation where, you know, maybe I end up owing like $1,500 or something like that, you know, maybe a little bit less just given where I've come in on previous years. And so on the 15th, I go into TurboTax, I enter all my information, and then you know how with the tax software, I'm not sure how it works with H&R Block, but as soon as you put in your W-2 stuff, the numbers start recalculating. And I saw the number just recalculating and go red with like a negative sign. You know what? I don't think it had a negative sign, but it went from owed to O. And bruh, man. And I saw that number, and I remember just thinking to myself, this can't be right. Like, there's no way, you know, there's the business expenses. You know, we're going to take a loss there. I know I had a little bit of side hustle income that I talked about on an earlier episode, but ultimately that's not going to be that bad. And actually, part of what's crazy about this is that when it came to the business income, so beyond the podcast, but just what I've done on the side hustle front, I put money aside for taxes for that and anticipated what I would need to pay. But when it came to my own personal taxes, just because I've been so used to getting a refund, I didn't take that step, which also kind of threw me off. So I'm looking at this number. My heart is palpitating. I've got this hope that when I go through the rest of the tax process, everything's going to work out. Everything's going to be okay. That number's going to come down significantly. And for federal, it did not. It hurt me, man. It hurt me a lot. It hurts.
Actually, thank you for saying that, because that's another thing that I currently no longer have to deal with in the great state of Texas, is I don't have state taxes. That was the circumstance in Colorado, but I don't have state taxes out here in Texas as well. So that might have been another reason.
Yeah. And so there's state, there's federal. And for state, I did have a tax return that was around $2,000. But that did not dissuade my rage, my clenched fist, from seeing the final number after I entered everything. It was all pretty straightforward. Checked it multiple times, running things back, moving zeros, putting zeros back in, making sure I'm not crazy, adding periods, which ultimately don't matter within the software. And at the end of it, I owed around $6,000 in taxes. So I went from a refund on both federal and state to federal owing around $6,000, and then for state having a refund of near $2,000, which nets out at around 4K in terms of what I owe total, given what I'll get back on state, then also for what I had to pay for federal. So super painful. Can you imagine, fam? Can you imagine expecting to pay like $1,500 and then, oh no, wait, it's actually going to be $3,500 more? Or so I didn't even think about the state part. I was just focused on what I owed on federal. So thinking you're going to owe $1,500 only to find out that you're actually going to owe $45.
I cannot relate to this personally, but I can relate to it generally. And I think I've openly talked about this now over the years. So as part of I'm trying to figure out how to navigate these tumultuous waters, as they always are. But there was someone in my past whom had a tax return. And same thing, like we were putting the numbers in and it kept getting worse and worse. And she's like, "You're doing it wrong." I was like, "I don't think I am." And so we literally went to a CPA, which is actually going to be another question I ask you. And so if you want to prepare for that, the question I was going to be is, did you learn anything? And then at what point do you feel that you involve a CPA for this? And so what I went through in that experience is we went to a CPA and they charged us $200 to confirm that, yes, she owed money. But all that being said, I ended up wiping that out and a couple of credit cards. And then, as y'all know, if you read the post at paychecksandbalances.com/GBR, I got left holding the bag. You know, sometimes you secure the bag, sometimes you hold the bag. So it just bees that way sometimes. So although I cannot relate, I can relate adjacent. I have adjacent pain in related to the tax man.
No, I understand. And my life is forever changed. And I think we've talked a lot about on the show, and I think we've always talked about the mistakes that we've made. And I know on a lot of recent episodes, I've had more positive stories where whether it's getting out of debt or restructuring bank accounts or making some additional money. But this was one of those areas. And we have a guest coming up soon where he actually talks about thinking he was going to be in good shape and then things didn't work out that way and how he felt. And honestly, man, I was embarrassed, you know, to be coming on a personal finance show and talking about this topic. And the thing is, we don't purport to be experts, but like I said up top, I hate that it had to be me and that I found myself in this situation, especially given that we just recently had somebody on to talk about taxes. And I'm listening. I'm like, yep, that's super helpful. I'm going to be good. Yep, you know what? That's a great nugget. That's going to help people. I'm going to be good. And I didn't have that same level of rigor for myself when it came to my own income taxes. So I'm in a state of pain. I'm a little bit embarrassed, but I also think there are some lessons here. And so looking at how I found myself in the situation in the first place, one, I relied on past history. So past history is not always an indication of future results or future outcomes. And taxes being one of those things that I will forever think about going forward. I never really dug in on how I was doing with taxes. And I've consistently claimed one, as I mentioned earlier. So I've kind of just been doing it's worked before. So this is going to work for me going forward, even though I've had professional success and I've made more money. And when I look at my compensation package at work, there are a few elements of that. There's a base salary, there's an annual bonus, and there's also restricted stock units, which I won't get into what all that means. And as a result of doing good work, you know, I've made more money. And for whatever reason, I thought that even if I moved into another bracket, which I realized that's part of what happened this year, this past year, I moved into a new tax bracket. I figured if I kept everything the same, I might end up owing a little bit, you know, whether it's $1,000 or $1,500, like I said before. but I never stopped to check in and see where I was tax-wise, even though I did stop to check in and say, okay, do I know how much money I'm making? Yes. Do I see the tax that's being taken out? Yes. But I never thought to go a level deeper than that. And then also, like I mentioned, I set aside money for business expenses or business taxes, but I did not do that for myself. And so a couple of things that I'm looking at doing going forward, definitely going to connect with a CPA. So if it's $200 to confirm, I figure that $200 will be better than being surprised that I'm going to end up owing $6,000 or something crazy like that in a future year, which is possible that number may go up in subsequent years. And then also, I'm going to set up a separate bank account and put a certain amount in there in anticipation of what I may owe for taxes after I'm able to connect with a CPA. So a pretty painful learning experience. Hate it had to be me. Wanted to share that with the people today, and this definitely won't be the case going forward, man. It still hurts. We're a bit removed from tax season, and man, it hurts.
I'll say a few things, one of which you reminded me. So the guest that I want to plug was actually very early on. It was episode 28, but that was Sylvia. And she has a book out there and a checklist for small business finance for the busy entrepreneur. More for those on the business side, but I thought that was a great episode. A lot of good information there. I'll get it in the show notes, but it's paychecksandbalances.com/Sylvia. S-Y-L-V-I-A, which I'm pretty sure is a standard spelling for Sylvia. So it shouldn't be that difficult to find. The guest that Rich mentioned was actually Rianca Dorsonville, who's a certified financial planner. She's joined us twice, but she talked about taxes specifically on episode 119, Your Tax Season Questions Answered. And then the third thing you reminded me of, both of those will be in the show notes, but I actually, for the benefit of the business, and but just to help Rich and I kind of get a better understanding of kind of where the money's going, and we were using an Excel spreadsheet and a bunch of different templates and
Google
Docs.
Although,
to your point, you
Google Docs.
Good point. And although, you know, we have this show, we have this episode, which is something I'm going to talk about here as well, as far as a question I got recently to someone who might actually be listening to this episode, because I did recommend that they follow the show, and they did. They actually pulled out their phone and followed. So shout out to them if they're listening. But I set up a Mint account for the business. But I say that because, you know, this is a learning experience for us as well that hopefully y'all benefit from as a listening audience. But one of the things I learned in resetting up Mint for the business side of the house versus a Mint for my personal side, which is what I use personally as well, is there's a budget calculator in there that you can also use. You can set up a budget for your income, but you can also set up a budget for your expenses. And one of them that I set up was for, in this case, for CPA, but it will count backwards and divide by 12. Well, you can set it for annually, monthly. I set this for annually. And it'll tell you how much you need to be setting aside in your budget each month for like an annual expense, like a CPA or something like that. So I thought that was pretty cool. I'm not advocating for Mint, but if you want to set up a budget, what you use Tiller, is that correct?
Yeah, I use Tiller. I also use Google Sheets as well. And then there's also things like Personal Capital, where you know, you can keep track of your net income and see what's going in, coming out. So there's a bunch of different tools out there, but I did not know that with Mint, you could put in like a fixed amount and then it'll work backwards and tell you how much you need to save every month.
Yes, sir. So I thought that was pretty cool. I don't know if it's a new feature because I haven't set it up in that way before, but I did think it was pretty interesting. And then I kind of want your opinion on this. Someone asked me recently kind of what you're trying to do with the show, what we're trying to accomplish here. And I kind of look at it as three levels. And, you know, although we got the motto and we started with raise your paychecks and lower your balances, it's been updated to help millennials save money, make money, and get out of debt. Both of those things are still true. But if I had to put it into three levels, and you can let me know if you agree with this triangle, if you will, is honestly, in my perspective, and I got a post coming out about this recently, I feel like I'm kind of getting back into the blog groove. So if y'all want to see my writing, return to the writing world, that's at paychecksandbalances.com/blog. But I'm kind of having right now for Financial Literacy Month, like these introspective, personally reflective posts on kind of where I've accomplished with my personal finances and where I have to go. But what I realized when you look at all these stats and statistics, what I'm personally interested in, because that's who I am as a person and I'm an auditor by day. When I see numbers like 7 in 10 live paycheck to paycheck, 1 in 4 households with $150,000 or more still live paycheck to paycheck, that's not a math issue anymore. Like, I feel like once you get to a point where your needs are taken care of, we're not talking about the math anymore. there may be several reasonable reasons why they're still living paycheck to paycheck. We had the episode, one of our most fastest downloaded, Living Paycheck to Paycheck on 500,000 Featured Financial Samurai. Of course, that'll be in the show notes. But I just feel like that's not math. That's not a math problem. That's not a lack of understanding. We all know what we should do. We just are not doing it. So to me, level one is getting people comfortable with talking about money, personal finances, and by extension, career, because the most constant income, source of income, although everybody's talking about financial independence and retire early, that, because I looked it up, because that's who I am, is 18% of the population. So with 62 being the average retirement age, only 18% of people in the entire United States manage, and I assume by choice, they might be looping everybody who's in here by choice or force into this demographic, is 18%. So keep that in mind as you pursue that. And so to me, level one is just getting comfortable having these discussions early enough in your life, age, or career to do something about it. And that's a really big demographic. Like, I would be very happy if we did nothing but put ourselves out of business addressing that, because it's 70% of people. It's 7 in 10. So it's not like I don't have this shortage. It's not even really a niche. It's a really big niche. And then I would see level two, which is interesting to me, because this is where this person jumped, which is fine. This is where most people jump. They're like, yeah, so do y'all talk about taxes and CPAs and certified financial planners? And I'm like, yeah, I'm like, we have a lot of those experts on, but I'm like, that's level two and three to me. So I would see level two is like investing and saving. Level one is like math, budgeting, getting a gap between how much you make and how much you save each month. And most people don't even have that gap that exists. And then I would see level three is like financial planning, household planning, insurance, taking care of the family legacy and things like that. But it's fascinating to me, and maybe it's the limit of the conversations that people have, that they leap to what seems to be like what I would describe as the upper echelon of financial plannings and discussions. And because we don't talk about these things, my first question in my head is like, do you live paycheck to paycheck right now? Because statistically, the odds are, the probability are, you probably do, which is fine. But to me, that's step number one. You leap to the Super Bowl and you ain't even got out the playoffs, Tony Romo. Hey, man.
That's your team, bro. I'm going to let you
know. Yeah, exactly. That's why I'm, you know, anyway, I got all kinds of feelings about that. That'd be a whole nother episode. But I'd be curious, kind of, you know, going through this experience, or your perspective in general, kind of where you see paychecks and balances, yourself, or just what money discussions and career discussions should be, if you had to break it down in like 3 levels, 5 levels, 10 levels.
I like that. And that's something that we never talked about before. And I like the way you put that together. And I think that's true. And I tie that, part of what I thought about when you were talking, I tie that to how much investing is the hot topic right now. And it's super encouraging to see so many people talking about getting into investing, wanting to know more about investing. But you're right. There's still levels one and two that you got to get through. And I think a lot of people nowadays, and I don't got stats on this, but there's a lot of people who are jumping to levels two and three before they've even got level one down. And you said taxes would fall in level one or two. I forgot.
Well, because taxes are inevitable, I'd say level one. They're not something you can avoid, although apparently people try to. But I just more or less mean, and it's, I'll put it this way. When I was on Mandy's show, and we have a guest that was commenting on that, the listener question was, I just graduated school. I make $30,000. I want to move out. I want to buy a car. And there was some third thing that she wanted to do. And then the question was, do I need a financial planner? Which is great that she's asking that question, that she's forward thinking like that, and she's looking ahead. And I'm like, I'm 36. And I barely think I'm at a point where I need a financial planner, because there's so many other things that I just need to better organize. And a lot of it, if you're comfortable, you can do yourself. And that's no disrespect to what financial planners do. I've actually learned more about financial planners hosting and doing this show than I ever would have just in my personal life. But that's such a complex discussion that that's not even something I would need or be ready to entertain at 22 is when I graduated college. I don't know how old this person was. And it's just kind of grounded me in, okay, let's have more nuanced discussions about preparing for that conversation and getting your finances or your life ready to have this conversation. I do think it's a conversation that needs to be had, I think most people are trying to run to the SATs without ever studying and doing some prep things. let's kind of get ready for this life test, if you will, versus just run out there and there's no reason to rush to fail.
Yeah, I think that makes sense. And so putting taxes in 101, I'd say going back to college, that was the area in that 101 class where I had a blind spot or a weakness that will be corrected going forward. And I just also want to mention that we're all going to make mistakes in different ways. I know we spend a lot of time talking about getting out of debt, budgeting, a lot of those foundational steps. And we haven't talked a whole lot about taxes outside of tax season. And I imagine we'll probably have more tax-related guests coming on going forward. And I will see to that, given my current struggle. But yeah, establish those foundations. I think that's super critical. And know that you're going to make mistakes, even with everything you listen to, even if you've worked in finance, even if you think that you got all the answers or you've done the research to get all the answers, there's still going to be these areas that come up that are going to be a blind spot or where you're going to struggle a bit. And that is okay. But I really like that breakdown, man. We might have to map that out, put it into a graphic, put it out there in the gram, you know?
Yeah, I like it, man, because I really think what I'm trying to get towards is making people see that it's okay to be perhaps even going in uncomfortable with these discussions. I'm glad that we're having more of them. I'm glad that I'm seeing all these discussions take place, but they're complicated because they're complex. So it's fine to be intimidated by it or to realize that it's a difficult discussion because some of these are. But I think they are more daunting and intimidating because you're rushing to, you know, 301 and you haven't even taken or passed 101, which thus implies that you skipped 201. And I know that exact feeling because people, which is funny to me, somebody was making fun of me the other day because I was like, I can't do that in my head. Like people assume because I'm an auditor, I'm good at math. I'm good at calculators. I'm not scared of math. I can plug things into a spreadsheet. But that's what I'm good at. I'm good at figuring out where to go or whom to ask or what to do or where to research to get the information. I don't just readily store it in my head. And I feel like most people, they're just not comfortable with that. They're not, or maybe they are bad at math, but they're also thus intimidated by it. And therefore they don't take that next step to learn more about it. And that could potentially put you in a dangerous place if you're just going in and getting it from bad resources or bad information, or you could, you know, frankly run into somebody that could take advantage of that.
Yeah, I totally agree, man. I'm sitting here and I just keep thinking about this and I'm listening to what you're saying. And going back to, we're all going to make mistakes in some ways, at least if you're establishing that foundation and you're good in 8 out of 10 areas, that's better than being good in 4 out of 10 areas. And then having to spread yourself across all of these different things to make sure that you understand the basics. And there are probably other blind spots that I have. I still think I have a long way to go when it comes to investing beyond the 401k. But as far as taxes, this year was super painful. The good thing is I'm super thankful for it. I was able to cover that tax burden that I wasn't expecting. And I think that that kind of underscores the point is that I've had other good financial habits so that when this happened, it didn't become an emergency. It didn't become a situation where I suddenly found myself saying, crap, now I can't do anything for 6 months out of the year because I wasn't expecting to have to owe this money. And yes, there's a trip that I may not be able to take, or maybe a couple of trips that I may not be able to take, or something that I might normally splurge on that I won't be able to splurge on. But because I built a solid foundation in so many other financial areas, it made this one a little bit easier to deal with. So hope that y'all got a lot out of this episode, a lot from my pain, from my suffering. And I'm hoping that the stories that we've told, whether it's the tow truck story, or me being in the city and not being able to get money from Western Union, or even the tax story today, that helps you think about things a little bit differently when it comes to personal finance. So if you enjoyed today's episode and haven't already, be sure to share with your network, subscribe, and hit us with those 5 stars in Apple Podcasts. This week's 5-star review comes from Shayna L.
Brown Ambition sent me, so shout out to Mandy and the Budgetista. I stood in for Budgetista about Well, it'll be a few weeks ago when you hear this episode, but I'll get that in the show notes for those of you who want to take a listen. Highly recommend! Exclamation mark. Used correctly. Shout outs to you. I'm always on the hunt for new money business podcasts. I was listening to Brown Ambition and Mandy mentioned you guys. I've been an avid listener ever since. Thank you. Funny, great content, and inspiring. It's refreshing to hear young Black men talk candidly, which we definitely did on this episode, about finances and business. Keep up the great work. 1, 2, 3, 4 hand claps.
Yo, so appreciate the 5 stars, but more importantly, I appreciate you calling us young.
Asterisks. And if you'd like to find us, Asterisks Young, on Twitter and Instagram, we're at Pay Balances, and on Facebook at Paychecks and Balances. You can follow our individual accounts. Find me at the Marcus Garrett on Twitter with 1 T because I ran out of characters. 2 T's everywhere else on Earth because that's actually my government name. And Rich is all over the internet at I Am Rich Jones.
I am, and it hurts.
And don't forget the course, Debt Free, is coming soon. That's DEBT. Yes, it's an acronym. And you can find out more at paybal.co/email to get the goods and the exclusive launch date. Again, that's paybal.co/email.
Sign up. And so until next time, be safe. We out. Make sure you know what's going on with your taxes. Peace.